I want to welcome those of you that are here for the first time, those that are watching live video streaming, those that may be in our chapel venue. The title of today's message, Blessed Intention. We have one verse of scripture that we're going to read together out of 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 18. I want us to read this out loud together. Here we go. It's up on the screen. But the Lord told him, "You wanted to build the temple to honor my name. Your intention is good." The last part of that verse, one more time, out loud together. Here we go. Your intention is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the incredible time we've had in worship together here this morning so far. Thank you, Lord, for the communion elements that we shared together, recognizing the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now thank you, Lord, for the preaching and the ministering of the word of life into every heart, into every home represented here, God. I thank you for this message, that we will not simply be hearers of the message, but we will be doers of the message. So, Father, I pray your grace and blessing and power to be upon this message. Holy Spirit, come now and speak into the hearts of your people. We pray and ask this in the mighty, majestic name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Blessed intention. This verse of scripture comes out of 1 Kings, and the story behind it is Solomon, the son of David, the heir to the throne of King David, is about to build and dedicate the temple of God, honoring God with this house, the house of God. And God reminds Solomon that his dad had it in his heart years prior. He had a good intention because David had every intention to build God a house. You can actually read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And in 2 Samuel 7, one day David was in his house, his palace, his beautiful palace. He went from being a shepherd to being a king. And as he sat there, he began to contemplate, and he thought, you know, I have this beautiful palace that I live in, but God, the God of my fathers, doesn't even have a house. So David was the first human being to have an intention to build God a house. God was so impressed by David's good intention that God poured out a blessing and a promise on David that is absolutely mind-boggling. And basically God said this. God said, David, through his prophet, he said, I've never mentioned to anyone about wanting a dwelling place. Moses never talked about it. The prophets never talked about it. But all of a sudden, out of the blue, you had this thought to build me a house. And God was so taken back by that. God was so impressed by that. He said, let me tell you what I'm going to do for you, David. I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to build you an enduring house. I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to build your throne. I'm going to build you a legacy. And there will always be a seed from your family line that will be upon that eternal throne. David's like, wow. I mean, who am I that you would do so much for me? But because David had a good intention, and not just a good intention, he had a God intention. He had a divine intention. He had a blessed intention. God blessed him. You know, there are times that God will bring blessing into your life, in my life, purely because we have a good intention to do something, and we don't ever really carry it out. Now, good intentions are good, but they're not good enough. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But initially, having a good intention in your heart, God recognizes that, and God rewards that. The story of Abraham. One day, God came up to Abraham and said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice. Abraham had every intention to carry out and follow through with God's command. He and his son walked up Mount Moriah. He placed his son on the altar. He raised his hand with the sacrificial knife in his hand to drive the dagger in the heart of his son when the hand of God supernaturally stayed the hand of Abraham. And God said, now I know you love me, and now I know you trust me completely. And God blessed Abraham that day. Why? Because he carried out God's command? No, he had every intention. He had a good intention. He had a God intention. He had a divine intention. He had what I'm calling today a blessed intention. So sometimes there may be an intention in your heart that you never get to live out, but the fact that you had that good intention in your heart, God will bless you because of it. Now, what is intentionality? Well, it's the act of being deliberate or purposeful. the act of being deliberate or purposeful. And I want to talk to you today about the power of intentionality. It's all great achievements, all great accomplishments in life start with a good intention, which is having a clear purpose and meaningful action behind that clear purpose. Every area of your life where you have experienced a measure of success, it's because you had a clear intention, you had a clear purpose, and you had meaningful action that you aligned behind or around that clear purpose. Our team this past week came back from Bogota, and we had an incredible time in Bogota. We go every year, usually in March, around spring break, and we take college students, we take TCS students, and we serve, and we're blessed, and we receive blessing, and we have an incredible experience. But this past week, I had the privilege of being at the Rhema Church in Bogota. They have over 3,000 students. They have thousands of students throughout Colombia, and we were there for a marriage and family conference. So I got to preach like 8 times. 4 on Friday, 4 on Saturday, actually 5 on Saturday, and I was like, I'm ready to go some more, man. I just love preaching, right? And we had a great time. It was just a great outpouring of God's presence and spirit. It was just absolutely beautiful. But, you know, the part of the trip that you always enjoy is coming back home. Because, you know, you can travel all over the world, but there's no place like home. There's no place like getting on a flight and getting back to Lubbock, Texas. Oh, isn't it a blessing to live in Lubbock, Texas? Absolutely. Now, the amazing thing about traveling overseas, you know, when you do this international travel, whenever you go to an airport, you have to pay attention. And matter of fact, as I was thinking about this message over the last couple of weeks, I was thinking about intentionality. Everywhere I looked, I was thinking about intentionality, intentionality. What does it mean to be intentional? And I thought about being in the airport. The most intentional people on the face of the earth happen to be in airports. The most intentional people. Why? They all have a clear purpose. They want to catch their flight. They want to be at their gate on time. They want their flight to leave on time. And they are so they give so much attention to where they are, to the time of their flight, and the gate of their flight, because nobody wants to miss their flight, right? I don't want to raise of hands, but how many of you ever missed a flight? You know, once you miss one flight, because it's your fault, you don't ever want to miss another flight, right? So everybody's intentional. Matter of fact, when you're at the airport and you're flying internationally, of course, they will ask you questions as you're checking your luggage in, and you have to pay attention, and you have to intentionally, right, answer their questions. And you know what those three questions are, right? Are these your bags? Is this your luggage? And you can't joke at an airport. You want to joke at an airport, but you can't joke at an airport. I feel like saying sometimes, no, I found these at outside of my hotel at the trash bin and outside my hotel, and I just thought I would lug them all the way back to Lubbock with me. Of course these are my bags. Look, it has my name tag right there, but you can't do that. You're like, yes, those are my bags, right? Have these bags, the second question is, have these bags been in your presence the entire time from the time that you packed them till now? And once again, you can't joke, but I feel like saying, no, here's what I do. The night before I leave the city to go back home, I leave my luggage outside of my hotel room because I'm hoping that some weirdo will come and place some foreign contraband in my suitcase so that when I bring it to the airport and you guys examine it, that you will find that contraband and you will arrest me. Wouldn't that be cool? Local pastor, Lubbock, Texas, arrested in Colombia, right? For contraband. Of course, they've been in my sight the whole time. And then, the last question they ask you. Has anyone approached you and given you anything and asked you to carry it on to that plane? Once again, I want to say, do I really look that dumb? Do I look dumb enough that a terrorist in this airport would say, look at that dumb American right there pointing to me. Let's go over to him and let's get him to carry a bomb onto the plane. No, I don't think so. No one's given me anything. But no sooner did I check my luggage in, I walked away, my wife and I, we walked away with our carry-ons. And Pastor Romick, who's the pastor that gives us the invitation to go and minister to his students and his members and houses our students and all of that, he was there catching the same flight to fly to Miami to visit his mom. No sooner did we walk away from the ticket counter, he opened his carry-on bag, he pulled out a bag, gave it to me, I didn't even look at it. I placed it in my carry-on bag and zipped it up. I'm like, wait a minute, somebody did give me something. It was Colombian coffee, because you cannot go to Bogota and return back home without some authentic Colombian coffee. Aren't you jealous now? I'm not going to share any with you, sorry. And I just hope that the cameras in the airport didn't capture that. Because all I could think about was, you know, security's going to rush me, they're going to tase me, I'm going to shake on the floor, and then they're going to go through my baggage, only to find out it was instant coffee on top of it all. I mean, like, how bad is that, right? So, but when you're in an airport, you have to be completely intentional. You have to give your attention. Here's what I've learned in life. This is a powerful lesson. Listen, in life, you must give your full attention to your attention. In life, you must give your full attention to your intention. I'll get it right. It's worth getting right. Are you ready? In life, you must give your full attention to your intention if you want to have an ascension, right? If you want to reach the heights that God has for you, you need to give full attention to your intention. Because, see, far too many people suffer from GID, G-I-D-D, short for Good Intention Deficit Disorder. How many people here today, and I hope no one in this service, they'll be in the next service, but not in this service, suffer from GID, from Good Intention Deficit Disorder? You have good intentions, and good intentions are good, but they're not good enough. We have to go from good intentions to good completions, right? Wherever you work, your job, your boss, they hire you not for your good intentions, but for your good completions. Now, every husband in here knows that good intentions aren't, they're good, but they're not good enough. I mean, let's say it's your anniversary, right? And your wife's been waiting all day for you to do something special. And it's coming to the end of the day, and you guys are getting ready to go to bed, and she's like, are you kidding me? Did you forget what today was? No, it's our anniversary, happy anniversary. She's like, what, no flowers? No card? And see, this wouldn't fly if the husband said, you know what, I had every intention on the way home from work to stop by and get you flowers and get you cards. I had every intention. I just got too busy. I mean, that's not going to work. That is not going, because good intentions aren't good enough. Well, let's say a police officer pulls you over and he says, do you know why I pulled you over? Don't play dumb. Like, no. Yeah, I know. I was speeding, sorry, my fault, my bad. And then you can say, you know what, but hey, would you think about maybe giving me a break? He's like, you know what, I have every intention to give you a ticket, sign right here, right? So good intentions are never good enough, but we have to give our attention to those good intentions if we want our life to experience an ascension. Why? Because the old saying is true, the road to hell is what? Paved with what? Good intentions. See, how many people on that final day, they're not ready to meet their maker. And they'll stand before God's judgment one day, and they'll say, you know, God, I had every intention to give my life to Jesus. I had every intention to serve and obey your son. But I just never got around to it. Because good intentions aren't good enough. You need to have good completions. Or, how about this? You know, I intended to start having a daily devotional reading through the Bible in a year plan. I was going to do that at the beginning of the year. I had every intention to do it. That's a good intention. But good intentions aren't good enough. We need to follow through with those good intentions. And all the people of God said, come on, come on. Amen. Right? How many people say, you know what? At the start of this year, I had every intention to begin to honor the Lord with the first fruits of my increase so that my barns will be filled with plenty and my vats will overflow with new wine. I had every intention to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in all areas of my life. I had every intention to test me herein, says the Lord. If I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, there's not room enough for you to contain it if you will begin to honor me with the tithe. Lord, I had every intention to begin to honor you with the tithe, but I just never got around to it. You see, good intentions are good, but good intentions aren't good enough. Or how about this one? I had every intention over the last several weeks to sign up for an FPU class. Oh, I'm preaching now, church. I heard the announcements. I enjoyed the skits, all the promotional material. It's been awesome, and I had every intention to do it, but I just never got around to doing it. You can do it today. Look to your neighbor and say, it's not too late. Go on, look to him and say, it's not too late. after service, you can go. We've got computers out there. We've got technology out there. We've got volunteers out there. We've got staff out there. We want you to sign up for an FPU class. You say, I don't need it. Those who say that are the ones who need it, okay? And it'll be an experience, I promise you, of a lifetime. I'll give you a guarantee. If you go through an FPU class and you go through the 10-week journey that we'll be starting this next week, and at the end of this 10-week journey, you're not better off, feeling better about your life, more in control of your life, at a better place in your life, I will give you your money back. Like, there's money involved? Yeah, you got to go buy that kit out there. Okay? All right. Everybody said, amen or oh me. So listen, without clear intentions, what's going to happen in life is you're going to become distracted by other people's intentions. Yeah. You know, on an average day, we get 3,000 to 20,000 advertisements that come our way. On top of the news, on top of what our bosses want, on top of what our friends and family and all the other demands of life, we are bombarded daily with everyone else's intention for our life. And whatever gets your attention will become your intention. Marketers understand that. Advertisers understand that. Whatever gets your attention will become your intention. And I'm hoping I get your attention today, because I want the intention of this message to become your intention so that your life can have an ascension. Amen? So listen, either your intention will create your attention. This is a mind bender, so I want to give you a heads up. Are you ready? Either your intention will create your attention, or your attention will create your intention. The former is purposeful. The latter is by default. And so many people live by default. They live by the intentions of others, and the intentions of others become their attention. And instead of giving your attention to your good intention, to your God intention, to your blessed intention that God has placed in your heart, you must have a clear and precise intention about your life, about your marriage, about your future, about every area of your life. You need to be the one that makes a decision about those important issues of your life, the who, what, where, when, and how, because if you don't, then others will. So I want to give you three reasons in closing why you should embrace intentionality. Why you should embrace intentionality. Number one, time favors the intentional. Look at Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. This is a psalm that they say Moses wrote. And look at the wisdom that Moses shares with us. Look at verse 12. Let's read it out loud together. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. One more time. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. God requires us to number our days. And when you are able to number your days, you're able to apply your heart to wisdom. There's wisdom in understanding that all of us are on borrowed time. There's wisdom in each of us understanding the most valuable gift that God has given your life outside of Christ is time. Time is your most valuable possession. I like what Brian Tracy said. He's a famous author and motivational speaker. He said, your greatest asset is your earning ability. Your greatest resource is your time. Your greatest resource is your time. Time is more valuable than money. You know why? Because you could lose money and then you can regain money. But once we've lost time, we could never regain time again. So time is of the essence. And so we have to understand what time is. You see, if we're going to value time, if we're going to appreciate time, if we're going to allow time to serve us, then we have to understand what time is. Now, you cannot know time on a metaphysical level. You cannot know time on a philosophical level. You can't even know time on a mathematical level. The only way that you and I could have a proper understanding of time so we can count the number of days that are remaining in our lives so that we can apply our heart to wisdom is the only way you can know time is you have to know time theologically. Theologically. You see, Darwinists and evolutionists, they tell us that some 13.7 billion years ago, there was this big boom, this big bang. And out of chaos, and out of confusion, and out of this big explosion, a world of exquisite order and beauty emerged, allowing life to evolve. Now, I know you're smarter than that to believe that, because you understand the second law of thermodynamics. You understand what Ludwig Boltzmann, the Austrian physicist, discovered in 1870. He figured out this thing called entropy. Entropy is just a measure of how disorderly things really are. And entropy tends to grow. That's the second law of thermodynamics. Let me give it to you. Let me give you an example that will explain it perfectly, right? At night, when you get ready to go to bed, comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face. It'll be shiny. You'll be looking good. You'll be smelling good. And then go to a neatly made-up bed. Crawl into that neatly made-up bed and watch the metamorphosis that will occur 8 hours later when you wake up and get out of bed. Right? You climbed into a neat bed. You climbed into a bed with combed hair and brushed teeth and a washed face. When you get out of that bed, just 8 hours later, entropy. The second law of thermodynamics kicks in. You get out of that bed, you look like a scene out of The Walking Dead. Until you reverse the devolution, not the evolution process, the devolution process. And once again, you stand before that mirror. And it's a slow process for some of us. It might take hours for some of us, right? But you begin to do your magic like only you know how to do it, and then you come out of that house looking good. Look at your neighbor and say, you're looking good. Go on, tell them, you're looking good. If you don't know them, be careful. Entropy. Things aren't getting better. Things are getting worse. And so we only have so much time. The sun's not getting brighter. The sun's getting dimmer. It's not because of climate, whatever, right? Now, in physics, we know there has to be matter, time, and space. And all of that must occur together. So you know what God did? God's not a creature of time. We're creatures of time. God is eternal. God created time. In Genesis 1, God gave us the days. He separated the night from the day. He gave us a 24-hour period. He created the sun and the moon and the stars, right? God created the work week. He said, 6 days you shall work, on the seventh day you shall rest. God created time so that he could create man. And God placed us in time for a time. And so we have to apply our heart to wisdom. How? By numbering our days and making the most of our opportunities in life. And that's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, he said, redeem the time because the days are evil. Buy back the time because the days are evil. Listen, if you knew you only had 6 months to live, if you knew you only had 6 months to live, or 1 year, if the doctor looked at you and said, you have 1 year to live, what would you do with the final year of your life? How meaningful, how purposeful would, and how intentional would your life choices become? Now we know what James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote in the book of James. He said, when you think about tomorrow or next year, don't say, well, next year we're going to go here, next year we're going to go there, next year we're going to, he goes, you don't even know what tomorrow holds. You should say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this and go here and do that. So yesterday's gone. Tomorrow may not come. I hope it does, but it may. There's no guarantee. No one in here is guaranteed tomorrow. All we have is right here, right now, today. And if you knew that you only had 1 day to live, how would you finish this day? Carpe diem. Live each day to the fullest, because a day that you in your life is a gift from God, and we must redeem the time. Amen? So time favors the intentional. Number two, success follows the intentional. Success follows the intentional. Look at Philippians 2:13. Let's read this verse out loud together. It's up on the screen. It is God who, for his own generous purpose, gives you the intention and the powers to act. Notice that. Let's read the last part of that verse out loud together. Gives you the intention and the powers to act. Good intentions are good, but they're not good enough. There needs to be action behind those intentions. Everything starts with a good intention, but it must not end with a good intention. It must have action behind it. And so we have the intention that God's placed in our hearts, but then God gives us the powers to carry out those blessed intentions. It's God both to will and to do of his good purpose in your life, is the authorized version of that same verse. It is God, both He both wills and then He gives you and I the power to do, to carry out the will, the intention. You know, there's nothing really as powerful in this world as will, willpower, the power of the human will. The power of the human will. You see, your flesh could want something. Your mind could say, yeah. But if your will says no, everything shuts down. The power of the human will is one of the most powerful things in creation. To exercise your... And you know that God won't violate your will? He doesn't force anyone to love and serve Him. He can bend your will. He can break your will, as in the story of Pharaoh. He broke his will. He bended the will of Pharaoh, and he broke the will of Pharaoh. Did you know the devil? The devil cannot violate your will. Did you know the devil cannot make you do anything against your will? He needs your consent. He needs my consent. In all of his pride and all of his bravado, the devil is powerless in your life, in my life, unless we open the door and allow him to come in. He can't make you do anything. On our way back from Bogota, we had a connecting flight in Miami. And so Pastor Barry said, you know what, let's go by Haagen-Dazs. And I'm like, man, why do you bring that up? Because like, that's my weakness. I love ice cream. I literally love ice cream, right? Mi amor, Hidalgo. I'm learning a little bit, okay? So we walk all the way to Haagen-Dazs to get some ice. Now, Bogota has the best ice cream in the world. I'm not lying. Bogota has some of the best food in the world. You all need to just go with us on one of these trips. Forget the spiritual part, okay? I mean, that's important. But the food, the ice cream, they have the best ice cream in the world. And I know ice cream, okay? So he goes, let's go. I'm like, nah. He goes, oh, let's go. I really want. I'm like, okay. So we walk up there, and I love ice cream, right? And he says, so what are you going to get? And I look, and my flesh says, vanilla Swiss almond. 5 scoops. No, right? $6 a scoop, forget that. My flesh says, yeah, that looks good. My mind says, oh, it'll be good. But then my will said, no! Because I don't need ice cream right now. I've already had, so I said no, and I walked away. He got an ice cream. He succumbed to the temptation, but I didn't. The power of the human will. You know, as was mentioned, what a joy this journey has been for my wife and I with this incredible church over the last 14 years. You know, 14 years ago, my wife and I, God opened up this supernatural door. We moved from Albuquerque to come to Lubbock to be a part of this great church. And there have been some great pastors that have been pastors here at Trinity. Matter of fact, there have been I'm like the eighth pastor in our 50-year history. But we came with an intention, a good intention. Our intention was we wanted to stay here at least 15 years. Now, back then, that seemed like a forever. 15 years seems like forever, right? I said, Lord, if we could just be here for 15 years, you know, we want an enduring work. We want our fruit to remain whenever you call us into the next season of life and ministry. So God, give us 15 years. And one of the reasons I wanted to be here at least 15 years is because the longest tenured pastor was only here 12 years, right? So we're celebrating our 14th year. So actually, for the last couple of years, I've been laying low. Right? I'm like, man, I got to make it to 13. But I don't want to just make it to, I wanted to break some records, amen? How many know whenever you show up somebody, you want to break some records? So we made it past 12. I'm like, okay, nothing bad happened. Praise God, you know. We're at 13 now, we're at 14 now. We're 1 year away from our initial intentional commitment. 15 years. And I thought, wow, Lord, it's like come and gone so quickly. And it just seems as though we're getting started. So the other day I was praying, I said, Lord, do you think you could give me 10 more years? He said, I don't know, ask the people. So I'm going to ask you, how many will give us at least 10 more years? How about 15? Can I get 15? How about 20? I'm up in the balcony. 20? Okay. So that's very kind. Amen. All right. But in life, success follows those who live by a blessed intention, a good intention, a God intention. I have every intention. And we know that intentions aren't good enough. They need completions. You know, the Center for Creative Leadership in Greensboro, North Carolina, actually attended a leadership training in the one in Colorado Springs, but they released a study of 21 high potential executives who were terminated or forced to retire early from their companies. And the one universal character flaw which always led to the downfall was not doing something that was promised. Good intentions aren't good enough. We have to have good completions. Time favors the intentional. Success follows the intentional. And finally, number 3, joy fills the intentional. Let's say that together. Joy fills the intentional. Psalm 128, verse 2. Let's read this out loud together. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. That's God's promise. If you and I will be intentional, if we'll redeem the time, if we will not only allow God to give us the will, but the ability, the powers, the intention, and the powers to live out and carry out His purposes for our life can be defined not by sorrow upon sorrow. Yeah, life will have its sorrowful moments. Nobody goes through life without sorrow. Jesus wept in the garden. He shed great drops of blood in the garden, but there were also times of joy. Matter of fact, I want to thank Nathan for the message he gave last weekend. I watched it online for the joy that was set before you. I mean, sometimes we have to endure the stuff. Sometimes we have to plow through the junk to get over to the other side and experience the joy that God has for us. Oh, I'm preaching now off of his message. But God wants your life and my life defined by joy. You know, I've known many people over the last 14 years whose marriages were on the rocks. They became intentional about getting the help that they needed, and now their marriage is being built on the rock. And we know there's a difference in having a marriage on the rocks and then rebuilding a marriage on the rock, solid rock foundation of Christ. I've known some people through the years that have been intentional about getting out of debt. Matter of fact, a certain individual that's a member of this church texted me the other day a few weeks ago and said, I want you to know in 45 days, we're going to be debt-free. And guess what happened? They sold their house, they downsized, they made some adjustments, and within 45 days, they are now 100% completely debt-free. Are you listening to me? Everything begins with a good intention, a blessed intention. I know many people through the years that have become intentional about their spiritual well-being, their emotional well-being, their physical well-being, and they became intentional about addressing those needs in their life, and they reached out and got the support and the help that they needed, and now they're experiencing joy. Why? Because every good thing begins with a good intention, with a God intention, with a divine intention, with a blessed intention. What's the good intention that God has placed in your heart? He'll give you the power to fulfill it. I like every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we humbly come before you today and we just say, Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to each of us. What would you have us do with this message today? And I pray that, Lord, we would take it to heart. I thank you for the good intentions that you've placed in our hearts, and I pray that, Lord, you would give us the powers to live out those good intentions so that they would become good completions in our life. I thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to the hearts of men and women right here, right now, those that are watching live video streaming, those in our chapel venue, Lord, I thank you that right now the Holy Spirit's reaching out to you, my friend, and he's speaking a word into your heart. And now will you take that word, will you apply that word to that area of your life that God right now is speaking to you about? Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can know his love, grace, and forgiveness. You say, how? Just open up your heart. Invite Jesus to come into your life. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So simply pray this prayer out loud with the rest of us. Say it with your own mouth. Mean it from your own heart. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for you and serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we thank the Lord together, church family?